Let's talk to Jake Hutchinson. Jake, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. It's finally cooling off here, so it's no longer 90 degrees. Appreciate that, but it's nice.
You fighting some crows right now in your backyard? What's going on there?
Yeah, so there's a crow that fell into the yard, and they've been sort of swarming around trying to warn the dog.
Wow.
not to attack their brother. So
yeah,
there's things happening.
You should put that crow in a box and deliver it to my house, because I got a redwood in my backyard and the crows live in it. And when I say the crows, I mean all of the crows, and they hate me. They know me. They hate me. My wife can walk out. Moose the dog can walk out. Nothing. I walk out, the entire neighborhood blows up. It's a real problem, Jake. I could use that dead real crow.
Hey, I hear you. I hear you. Crows are an issue, buddy.
Okay, cool. Now that we've gotten the important issues out of the way, let's talk about silly things. Like, what the hell is going on with Grant Cohn and Javon Kinlaw? Because this seems real messy. Real messy.
Yeah, so I think it's a product of a few things. One, Grant is, love Grant.
He's a provocateur.
Exactly. He agitates people online. That's his shtick. I think it's a product of that and the fact that we haven't been in a locker room in 2 years, so players don't see us face-to-face. So
yeah.
I think criticism, it's easier to take when you actually can talk to a person and get a sense of how they actually feel about you, and there's more of a human element. We even had that. And then there's also, it's tough, when you're a guy that was supposed to be a stellar player and you just haven't really played, you're frustrated. And then you've got some guy online who's calling you out. So yeah, it got ugly. Kinlaw, I think, is right to be upset, probably didn't express it in the right way. And then, from what I heard, Grant and him sat down today in John Lynch's office and I guess hashed it out and are on the same page. But yeah, it got real weird. I think in general, my takeaway from this is that I think we've all spent too much time on the internet. Our brains are collectively broken these last couple of years, continue to get weirder. And, things turn out better when you just talk to people in person and get a sense of how you're feeling. And we haven't had much of that. So yeah, things got weird and, hopefully things get back to normal. But yeah, odd couple days here.
Talking to Jake Hutchinson on the phone here, I'm sure John Lynch was thrilled that was something that he had to deal with in the course of all of the other things, like who's our center? Where is Jimmy Garoppolo? Can we get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo? Also, that Deebo Samuel thing. And I'm sure that he was just absolutely over the moon to mediate a Javon Kinlaw Grant Cohn showdown. This is an inauspicious start to the season, Jake.
It's, just a visual of John. to be like, guys, can we we have a sit down? And just, he's got two chairs. It's like he get called to the principal's office, and it's just John Lynch, the principal, with Javon Kinlaw and Grant Cohn just sitting
fantastic
there. At least that visual is pretty funny.
Okay, well, and everybody got in their Instagram comments afterwards, and oh boy, everybody looks real bad off of this. What did you see in the actual football portion of OTAs that existed earlier this week? Like, anything really stand out to you?
Yeah, it's tough because, even when you're at training camp sometimes, you think you see something and you're like, this actually doesn't matter at all. So OTAs, when it's just 7-on-7 and guys sort of jogging around, it's tough to glean anything significant. Trey Lance was there. You saw him working with Brian Greasy and the youngest Kubiak, which is going to take a bit of getting used to.
Which Kubiak is that?
I think it's Clint. It's Clint or Clay, and I should know this because we talked to the 49ers coaches today. But there's two sons with names that start with a K. It's like the Mike LaFleur,
it's Clay.
Matt LaFleur thing all over again. So you saw a little different drills, than what Rich Scangarello used to run. So that was interesting, I guess. And then
so
you
like
saw Lance
drills
running.
That's interesting.
Yeah, they had little things he had to throw over that were set up high. That was new. I guess each coach has got their thing. But, yeah, it was at least everything's new. That's the feeling. And obviously with OTAs, everything's going to be new. But, you know, you've got new coaches in the building. You've got the sense that Trey Lance is the starter. There is like a vibe of sort of newness, and this is the time where everyone just, you know, it's not even the first day of school, but it's sort of like everyone's doing a little, you know, bonding exercise over the summer, and you at least got to see some of the vibe of Lance as the starting quarterback, and that's at least sort of interesting to see. I'm not sure how much we really learned, but, you know, he's walking around the building. You know, his presser, he seemed a little bit more relaxed. So, you know, we'll see if we can glean anything. But seeing him at least, you know, feel like the starter and feel like it's his building, that was probably the most notable thing so far.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival. Featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
It is interesting how the 49ers have handled this situation with the quarterback transition. They just kind of decided one day, like, yep, it's now his job. And there wasn't any, like, handing over or changing of the guard, and I think they've handled it well. This isn't a criticism, but it's interesting because we've talked to some folks already, and they've all kind of said, yeah, no, Trey Lance was carrying himself like the starting quarterback that he is, and that mantle has clearly been handed over. It's tough, though, when you're a young player. I can imagine that that's going to be a challenge for him, even if it is something that he takes to naturally. Not an easy job to be the leader of a team when you have two NFL starts under your belt. What did you make of his temperament? What did you take of his first sort of real meeting as the alpha A number one?
Well, he had a little swagger to him. Like every time we talked to him, you know, last year it was sort of like, "Hi, thank
you."
Yeah,
it was kind of sheepish.
You know, Yeah, a little bit, you know. So it was nice to see him joke around a little bit more. You know, Eric Branch is always hilarious, and everyone was asking about his finger. Oh, and he's like, I promise my finger's fine. So even that alone, like, it's not super substantial, but just seeing him act, you know, with the swagger of a starting quarterback, that, you know, it feels like it's his job. It feels like Jimmy's secondary, you know, like, it's not mm-hmm. like, oh, what are I going to do with Jimmy? Kyle's like, yeah, we'll probably trade him, or I don't know, whatever. We'll figure that out. But that was the tone from Kyle. So that, I think, is like, okay, everyone seems to be generally on the same page that they're moving on with Trey as long as disaster doesn't strike over the next couple months. And I think that's sort of logically how we all expected to go. But there is a sense of, like, in general, I feel like you have to see it to believe it. Just, you know, people lose their minds and speculate over, is it going to be Trey's team? Is it not? And then it's like, you see it, even if it's just OTAs, and you're like, okay, it is his team, you know, and it's stupid mm-hmm. that our brains work that way.
Yeah, I get it. There has to be some skepticism. You know? I mean, we have to hold out some skepticism because the kid's never done it before.
Of course, he might turn out to be terrible. We don't know.
We really don't.
I don't think that's how it's going to go.
Agreed.
But anyone that is at a sort of decisive in our camp that he's going to be incredible or he's going to fail, like, you don't know. You don't know. We saw a couple games, some good stuff, some bad stuff, a lot of reason, I think, to be more optimistic than not. But again, we don't know, you know, and the 49ers are sort of leaping into the unknown. And that's where I think all that speculation comes from.
Deebo Samuel isn't there. That's expected. Nick Bosa wasn't there. He's just sort of given a pass on stuff like that, as is Trent Williams. Right. Like, they're just like, oh, we don't really ask questions of Nick Bosa. He shows up and kills when we need him to. Were there any absences that you took note of and qualified as surprising to you?
Not really. I mean, I think everyone we expected to be there was there. You had some veterans who weren't there. It's funny, Kyle Shanahan is like, you know, on Alex Mack, he's like, I'm not going to say anything, but I think you guys have a pretty good idea of where he's at. We're all like, no. No, we don't. What are you talking about? A couple months ago, we were all certain he was going to retire, and then it felt like he's going to come back. And then Kyle's like, you guys know, don't you? And it's like, no, that's why we're asking you, because we don't. We don't know, Kyle. Please tell us. So, you know, maybe he comes back, feels like he's going to enjoy his honeymoon and whatever travels that he's going on, as he should.
He's been traveling for like 3 months now, by the way.
Respect. I mean, if I was center who'd made that much money, I would travel for months and months and months, and maybe, and then at the start of the season, I'd be like, you know what, I don't want to come back, or, you know, I'll leave you guys hanging, and I'm sorry, but I had a lot of fun traveling, and I don't really want to get back to, you know, snapping footballs and sweating in the 90-degree weather down in Santa Clara sometimes.
It does come across as a little bit of a D move, though, if we're being honest. Like, just tell him you're coming back or not. If you know, tell him. And
right,
I mean, you don't have to tell us, but like, I don't know if Kyle Shanahan knows.
They seem to have a decent idea. They keep saying that
they want you to think they know. They don't know. They don't know more than we know.
I mean, yeah, that's something. It's too, because, you know, when you travel, it's hard to be in the mindset, like, of any job when you're traveling, to be like, oh, I can't wait to get back. You're not thinking about that, you know, let alone when you're a football player and it's like, I'm sitting, you know, like he's in the Maldives or something.
Yeah.
And he's like,
what I could use right now,
a football.
I could really use Eric Armstead punching me in the neck. That's I'm sure what Alex Mack is thinking right now as he, you know, goes through the canals of Venice.
Yeah, no thanks. Enjoy your time off. Like, I wouldn't be thinking a second about football if I was him right now.
What do we expect the resolution with the Deebo Samuel situation to be, Jake?
Well, at some point he's going to come in. They expect him to come in. He kind of has to, just the way the new CBA works, unless he's got some secret stash of maybe some crypto money he's got going on. But
I don't know if that's worth anything now at this juncture.
Right. So I'm thinking, he's got to come in at some point. Kyle said he expects him to, even without Kyle saying that, just the way the CBA is written and the fines and the fact that, you know, he lose free agency, he kind of has no leverage. Now, you know, does he do the hold-in thing? I don't know. I expect that he has to sort of come in and just, you know, practice. And I don't think he's going to go full start. I think it's going to be a slow thing where he's probably, you know, not going to be on the field right away. But I don't know where it stands right now. It really depends how he and his agent play this, whether they're still going to, you know, he's going to come in, but are they still going to be sort of stubborn in their stance that they still want to be traded, even though 49ers aren't going to do that? Are they going to say, you know, we still want $25 million and not going to budge on that? If they're more amenable and, you know, are willing to sit down at the table and negotiate, which seems like the only real option they have, which should have been their approach from the beginning, then maybe we get a Deebo Samuel contract extension, you know, sometime early in training camp. By the time it starts, who knows? But they're going to have to change their initial tune substantially, because, you know, if you're the 49ers and he's still on the fence and doing this weird stuff where he's not really explaining why he's upset, then I don't know if you want to make a financial commitment, even if, you know, he says he doesn't want to play or tries to hold out or whatever. It's, you can't be held hostage by a player that, you know, doesn't want to commit to your organization.
In all of your incredible years of sports journalism, who is the player that had the biggest beef with you?
The biggest PR disaster?
I mean, beef, PR disaster, whatever you want to call it. Like, you're like, oh, no, I stepped in it this time. Or just confrontational encounter. Does anything come to mind?
I mean, I was thinking of the Malice in the Palace, but that's not quite.
I don't think, were you there? Was that your fault?
Yes. I was a child who threw a carton of milk in Detroit and started Malice in the Palace.
You and Ron Artest need to hash it out. Sorry, Meta World Peace.
Sure, it was terrible for the NBA, but man, it was, what an incredible thing to happen. I mean, just seeing him jump into the crowd, like there's sort of like a poetic, you know, justice and beauty to that.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't good, Jake. I was just wondering if you had had any beef with athletes in a Grant Cohn, Javon Kinlaw matter.
I wish I had more, but, you know, I don't love to just launch hot takes online for the most part. Yeah. So maybe I got to work on that. Maybe I got to start getting under players' skin, you know, talking trash,
Anytime you can make it personal, that seems like a really good plan.
Yeah. That's my next step. I just become a hot take talking trash in person. Trash to players' faces on the sidelines of training camp. Could you imagine just a reporter just talking trash?
Oh, this guy sucks.
Oh, God, the visual is beautiful.
Yeah. It would not be so beautiful after the player confronted that reporter, though. I think that would that might result in a little bit of blood. That seems bad.
Yeah.
It's all bad, Jake. It seems real bad. Inauspicious start to the season, indeed. It's never inauspicious when you join us here on Tonight, though. Thank you so much for coming on, buddy.
Hey, no worries. Appreciate it as always.
That's Jake Hutchinson, ladies and gentlemen.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.